The Bush administration is preparing to make its case for action against Iraq. Starting this month, top administration officials are expected to appear before Congress, where many lawmakers say they're skeptical about war. They want to see evidence showing the seriousness of the Iraqi threat. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports.
The advocates for war describe Iraq as a mortal threat to U.S. interests. In two speeches last week, Vice President Dick Cheney predicted that Iraqi President Saddam Hussein will obtain a nuclear weapon fairly soon, he said.
Just how soon, we cannot really judge. Intelligence is at best an uncertain business, even under the best circumstances.
Cheney says intelligence is especially uncertain when it comes to Iraq. Early this year, CIA Director George Tenet said that Iraq still has nuclear ambitions.
We believe that Saddam never abandoned his nuclear weapons program. Iraq maintains a significant number of nuclear scientists, program documentation, and probably some dual-use manufacturing infrastructure that could support a reinvigorated nuclear weapons program.
Even so, some intelligence officials were surprised to hear Vice President Cheney predicting that Iraq will fairly soon have a nuclear bomb. United Nations weapons inspectors say they destroyed Iraq's most important nuclear facilities and materials in the 1990s. Though the inspectors are no longer allowed in Iraq, U.S. officials consider it unlikely that Iraq could now manufacture weapons-grade uranium. Iraq could seek to import nuclear materials, but U.S. officials say they have no information suggesting that's happening. U.S. and United Nations officials say there is little doubt that Iraq does possess chemical and biological weapons. Former U.N. Weapons Inspector Jonathan Tucker says Iraq has rebuilt some of its facilities that once produced those weapons.
So one can infer that there has been some reconstitution of those programs, but the extent to which they have stockpiled agent or the quantities of agent are very difficult to estimate.
There's an equally important question, though: how Iraq would deliver weapons of mass destruction. Iraq still has a few planes and Scud missiles, but that's not what really worries Bush administration officials. Pentagon officials argue that Iraq could plausibly hand off its weapons to a terrorist group, which might use them anywhere. In his testimony last winter, CIA Director George Tenet said Iraq had made some contact with the al-Qaeda network.
Their ties may be limited by divergent ideologies, but the two sides' mutual antipathy toward the United States and the Saudi royal family suggest that tactical cooperation between them is possible, even though Saddam is well aware that such activity would carry serious consequences.
Serious consequences, because Saddam knows the U.S. would retaliate with overwhelming force. Tenet's nuanced public statement suggests the difficulty of predicting Saddam Hussein's future actions. Summing up years of CIA analysis, Tenet said Saddam might work with al-Qaeda, or he might not. That's enough information for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. In a time of terrorism and terrifying weapons, Rumsfeld warned this summer that the U.S. must guard even against uncertain threats, watching out for what Rumsfeld called the unknown unknowns. House Majority Whip Tom DeLay agrees and promised his support for war in a speech last month.
Saddam Hussein is aggressively marshaling Iraq's financial and technical resources to develop a nuclear weapon. What more do we need to know?
After considering the same evidence, Raymond Zelenskis says he needs to know a lot more. Zelenskis is a former United Nations weapons inspector, now with the Monterey Institute of International Studies.
For some reason, the Bush administration has really some sort of almost pathological hatred or fear of the Iraqi government, and that they are way exaggerating the problem that Iraq poses to the world community.
This summer, a reporter invited Defense Secretary Rumsfeld to say what exactly makes Iraq a preeminent threat. The reporter pointed out Iran and North Korea also have weapons programs and ties to terrorist groups.
They would seem to be a higher degree of a target for the United States for the kind of policy that appears to be just focused on Iraq. Mm-hmm.
The policy of the government of the United States has been to regime change for Iraq. That's the Congress and the executive branch both. It has not been that for some other countries, and I guess life's just untidy.
It is in that untidiness that some lawmakers and former officials have begun to make their case against war. In a speech last month, retired Marine General Anthony Zinni said Iraq should not be the highest U.S. priority. Zinni is the former commander of U.S. forces in the Gulf and special envoy for the Bush administration. He says the war in Afghanistan continues, the Arab-Israeli conflict continues, and nearly every U.S. ally in the region opposes war against Iraq.
Our relationships in the region are in major disrepair. Not to the point yet where we can't fix them, but we need to quit making enemies we don't need to make enemies out of. And we need to fix those relationships. There's a deep chasm that's growing between that part of the world and our part of the world.
A top advisor to the first President Bush warns the U.S. cannot just ignore its allies. Writing in the Wall Street Journal, former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft said the U.S. depends on the allies for intelligence and other support in the broader war on terrorism. Scowcroft doesn't see an attack on Iraq as part of that war on terrorism. He considers Iraq a distraction from it. Senator Chuck Hagel says that distraction might grow larger. The Nebraska Republican is one of several lawmakers questioning the wisdom of war.
We've got many different issues that are connected here. I mean, we could see a destabilization of the Middle East here in South Asia develop as a result of a unilateral invasion of Iraq. We could turn an entire generation of Arabs and Muslims against the United States. I don't see how that enhances our security or the security of Israel, for example.
Hagel's prediction is as uncertain as those predictions about Saddam Hussein's intentions. During the first Gulf War, in 1991, many Arabs protested, but friendly Arab governments survived. Iraq attacked Israel, but the U.S. persuaded Israel not to strike back, and the war did not spread. In his speech last week, Vice President Cheney offered his own prediction. He argued that Saddam Hussein's overthrow would actually improve the prospects for Middle East peace.
Regime change in Iraq would bring about a number of benefits to the entire region. When the gravest of threats are eliminated, the freedom-loving peoples of the region will have a chance to promote the values that can bring lasting peace.
President Bush says he has not yet decided to seek a preemptive strike, but his own public statements leave little doubt about what he considers important. When making his case on any murky issue, the president prefers to repeat what he considers a single overriding fact. Last month, reporters asked the president about Iraq, and the president focused on Iraq's leader.
This administration agrees that Saddam Hussein is a threat. And he will be, you know, that's a part of our thinking, and it hadn't changed.
Advocates for war say Saddam Hussein is still the most dangerous leader in a critical part of the world. This fall, President Bush and Congress decide if that fact alone can justify the risks and the unintended consequences that any nation faces when it decides to start a war. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.